This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
We've seen what you can do, oh God of wonders. Your power has no end. The things you've done before, in greater measure, you will do again. 'Cause there's no...
Welcome to Wednesday Live, a production of WCNO Christian Radio, sponsored in part by Treasure Coast Christian Alliance. David wrote in Psalm 145, verses 11 and 12, "They tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all people may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom." That's the vision of Wednesday Live, to edify, inspire, to comfort, to encourage, and to bless you. Let's see what God has in store for us today.
And good morning and welcome. This is Wednesday Live. And David, you're in the studio.
I am, fully and completely.
We are missing Karen, though, today.
We are, yes.
Karen had to take some vacation. Is that because too much wear and tear from the staff around here, you think, or...
Well, she deals with her duties very diligently, and there's a lot of them. So yeah.
There are, and yeah. Actually the whole staff here is part of her duties too, isn't
true,
it?
True, yes.
Well, anyhow, Karen is away on a little bit of a break, and so she definitely has earned that, and we know that God's going to give her a great, great time while she's out of town. But we do have some great guests that are lined up for today, David, and we want to jump right into an opportunity to speak with a very important area of ministry, and we are looking forward to an event that's coming up right here on the Treasure Coast in just a few days for leaders, for key leaders. And so I want to just welcome, we want to welcome Eric Dellenbach. And Eric Dellenbach, looking at his background, has been very busy over the last few years. Involved, of course, with the governor's liaison for faith and community in the executive office. And under his leadership, Florida's become, you know, the most faith community friendly state in the nation. Did you know that, David? We are the...
I discovered that recently.
Isn't that awesome?
Yeah,
this is awesome. And so Eric Dellenbach is greatly responsible for that. With more than 2,200 faith institutions, 5,000 nonprofit partners coming to mobilization, and worked with the First Lady in the state, Casey DeSantis, a great work there, has a background in so many areas. I was looking at all of these, a graduate of University of Florida, and
go
having...
Gators.
Yeah, go Gators.
Go Gators.
Go Gators. A movie producer, business, nonprofit executive, college professor, speaker, entrepreneur, and so much more, and now actually heads up Florida Family Voice. And I'm pleased to welcome you, Eric, to WCNO Christian Radio. Great to have you on air with us.
Yeah, it's great to be with you, gentlemen.
Chris, you also are joining us. Chris Fogle and the Treasure Coast Christian Alliance want to welcome you, Chris, and want to thank you and the Alliance for sponsoring this hour from week to week. Welcome.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure to be with you, Jonathan.
Well, as we jump into the morning, we do have an event coming up. Chris, why don't you address some of the particulars of that, because some are listening that are going to want to take some notes and get some things on the calendar. And I know that we want to get an invitation out, but we need to get it out to the right people.
Yeah, let's talk about Friday, September 5th, because it's right around the corner. The Alliance is putting together a pastor's breakfast and community leaders to be able to hear our guest, Eric Dellenbach, talk about some important and key issues that affect all Christians in the state of Florida. And so what we try to do as the Alliance is to bring the body of Christ together. So we are inviting all pastors that we can get a hold of to come to this event on Friday morning, September 5th at 7:30 in the morning. Breakfast is free, by the way. It's being sponsored. But what's more important is for the pastors and community leaders to get together that morning, not just in fellowship, but to hear the important message that Eric's going to deliver, because, and I'll lead this into Eric, we were successful in the last election on a ballot initiative, but it was scarily very close. And Eric, if you could maybe just talk about the importance of what you're going to cover and why it's important for all the pastors from different churches to come together and hear what you're going to bring. I really would like if you could share. But it's going to be at Grace Emmanuel Church, which is on Kinnerman Road, right between US 1 and Oleander, at 7:30 Friday morning. So really would like to for people that are going to attend to give us a call. In fact, I will give my personal cell phone if you are able by to contact me at 772-834-5316. And the reason I'd like to know is, since breakfast is free, we need to know how many eggs to crack. So I'll turn it over to Eric at this point.
All right, Eric, well, maybe first, I know you're coming in, but I would like you, just for our listeners, to know what Florida Family Voice is, and you are the new executive director there, I believe. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Chief
That's
Executive correct. Officer. Okay, excellent.
Yeah, they're all the same. I get to lead the organization, and I would love to tell you, I mean, I can do it in one sentence. I didn't know this maybe 3 or 4 years ago, but Florida Family Voice has spent 20-plus years as the lead advocate in the state of Florida for life, marriage, family, and religious liberties. I have to tell you, just obviously you mentioned in my bio, which is super uncomfortable to have your bio read during a radio interview, but that's all right. I appreciated you doing that. You know, I 6 years of being on the governor's leadership team and the executive office, I mean, I've told people all over the state, you should first be grateful that Florida even has a role like that. I mean, the fact that they put a person like me that represents faith on his leadership team and his executive office is unheard of. That doesn't happen, and certainly another reason to be a proud Floridian.
Amen.
And so for these past 6 years, I've just had a really interesting vantage point. And I think when I look at what Florida Family Voice stands for, I try to tell people, I was like, if you can remember the four things, life, marriage, family, religious liberties, it takes me about 13 seconds, you know, for the average person of faith to go, man, all four of those are under attack. It's, you know, this is, and we certainly could pretty easily agree on the fact that they're under attack. And so you start to really think about the importance of an organization like this. And that's really, well, prayer ultimately led to me accepting this role. But a big part of the consideration for me was, where's the new battlefield? Obviously, we fought hard for 6 years in the governor's office. And there were two lessons I learned that I just want to share quickly to kind of answer the first question I got asked. Which is simply, I would love for listeners to know that there's two things we saw with Amendment 4. One, we saw that the battlefield changed. Let me give you more definition on that. This was the first time that we saw a major ballot initiative that really should have been handled in the House and Senate come outside of the House and Senate, be put on the ballot. Disappointed that the Supreme Court let that happen, but they did. And when that happened, we went from needing to have a few legislative members informed to needing to have 10 million voters informed of the deception that was being written in that. And I think if you look at the history of Florida, right, I gave this talk a lot before the November election, really no ballot in the history of Florida has ever come, no ballot initiative has ever come off of the Constitution. And so we spent a lot of our time last year just teaching Floridians a civics lesson, which is we are playing much more dangerous, much higher stakes poker, if you will, messing with ballot initiatives that, quite frankly, if that had passed, would be on our Constitution indefinitely and would be very, very, very difficult to get taken off as it would take 60% to vote the other way to remove it. So first and foremost, I want your listeners to hear the battlefield changed. It went from things that should be in the House and Senate, things that you can fix by voting in good representatives, things that you can fix by voting in good governors, was now deceptively written and put in front of the voting Florida public. And my concern with the voting Florida public is simply how prepared we come into those voter boxes. You know, I joke, last year I think we were all pretty aware of who was running for president. I was less aware who was running for mosquito control in So County. And yet when we come into those voter boxes, all of that's in front of us. Things like, you know, will a baby be protected in the womb? And that radical amendment changed that battlefield. The second thing, and this is what we're gathering on the 5th to talk about, and why I hope anyone that leads a church, leads a faith ministry would consider joining us, is that we have a massive disconnect. And I just, let me put it this simple. We have 17,000 Christian churches in Florida, 17,000. And yet when things come against our biblical worldview in the halls of government, very few people call to represent those things. On the flip side, if I put something out, the governor tomorrow said something about home insurance, you'd have 20 lobbyists move in and talk, you know, they'd give you their opinion over the next 48 hours. And yet on the biblical worldview issues, we do not have a well-connected, well-collaborative voice into those issues. And so my hope is to use the platform of Florida Family Voice to bring together as many of the 17,000 churches in our state to agree on a few things. And this is where I'll end and kick it back over. But one of the things I got to start was something called Night to Shine when I ran Tebow's Foundation. And what I learned in that period of time was that churches, although if we had talked about five issues, we would only agree on a couple. But fundamentally at the top, we agree on who's Lord, and we agree on serving the most vulnerable. And if those two things set the tone for our voice, and 17,000 churches or even 2,000 churches could say, we agree on life, we will lend our voice to the support of life, everybody over in Tallahassee will listen. And so we are very, very passionate right now about recognizing a changing battlefield, recognizing the four walls that are being attacked, and forming a collaborative voice to do something about it.
Well, we certainly want to be a part of that, Eric, here at WCNO, and we want to use the voice that God has given us, which is a pretty good-sized mouth. We speak into 12 counties. We potentially could reach over 7 million in our state, which is a pretty large percentage of our populace. But this is it's a very important breakfast. Again, Chris, can you just give a little promo so people who are listening, even if it's a board member, maybe a congregate, they might be able to make a call to their senior pastor or lead pastor, some of the team, and get the word out and make sure that all of our churches here up and down the coast are aware of this breakfast and an opportunity to lock arms with other people of like faith to equip ourselves to be better equipped for future voting that will be coming soon. Chris.
Yes. Again, this breakfast is going to be held Friday morning, September 5th. It's going to be at 7:30 a.m. at Grace Emanuel Church on Kinnerman Road, just between U.S. 1 and Oleander. The breakfast is free, but we need to know who is coming because we're going to cater that breakfast. And so if they could, if they are interested in reaching myself, it's 772-834-5316. You can text me that number or you can call me at that number. I will be available. If I don't get back to you right away, I will get back to you. But again, it's 7:30 a.m. Friday morning, September 5th at Grace Emanuel Church on Kinnerman Road, Port St. Lucie, between U.S. 1 and Oleander Avenue. And really would encourage, we've already had a number of pastors from different churches and one very large church that are going to have people there. So we're kind of excited that we should have a good attendance there to listen and to hear what Eric and his organization will be providing for us, because we need to be equipped as saints. We need to be equipped. We need to be able to be out in front of these things that really could have had dire consequences for the state of Florida had that bill passed.
All right, and once again, if you're just tuning in, this is Wednesday Live. You're listening to WCNO in Palm City, Florida, and Eric Dellenbach is with us and is going to be right here in the Treasure Coast. Thank you, Chris, for sharing. And welcome back, Eric. And, you know, we talked a little bit about the battlefield, how it shifted, and that seems to be the way it always is going to be. There's going to be some tug of war and some things will change a little. But the unique position that Florida Family Voice has is really important at this time, I believe, for this call to go forth.
Well, I believe so, but let me make sure that I say this in the humility that it needs to be said. The point of all this is the church. It's Christ's bride. It's the largest infrastructure in the world. It's survived 2,000 years. You know, I mean, like all we are trying to do as FFV is make much of the church. And I think, like, if you, I'll just tease Friday a little bit and say, if I was the enemy, I would just want the voice to be divided. Right? Because, I mean, there's nothing more powerful on the planet than the church. And yet, if we fragment and we talk about what we disagree on more than what we agree on, and we don't use our voice in both the halls of government and podiums and platforms and across the state, that's what the devil wins. And so I have this thought, and again, I'll go on a journey with you just for a second. I have five kids, two of them are in college. I think about their world over the past 5 years, the COVID to post-COVID world. And I think, like, when I was a kid, you trusted things. I would have trusted science and medicine, and I would have trusted the news, and I would have trusted, you know, weather probably back then. But I mean, like I just think, like, if you're 18 to 25, 30-year-old right now, over the past 5 years, you have seen an erosion of many of the things that we used to see as truth. And this leaves a huge, wide open path for the fact that the last trusted truth speaker in our generation is our pastors. And so I think it's so important that organizations like us and a bunch of others get up underneath them and lift them up and educate them and empower them and equip them and encourage them. I want to have real discussions, not like, hey, you should do this, pastor. Pastors have the hardest job on the planet. I want to have conversations with a pastor to say, let me give you the real stats. Let me tell you what's actually happening so that you can speak. And again, they have to prayerfully decide how they want to speak and what they want to say. I'm not trying to do that, but I want to make sure that every pastor is encouraged and equipped and educated on what's happening so that they can prayerfully make the decision of how they handle it. If we can make much of the church has been positioned for 2,000 years to be the voice.
You know, Eric, in just the very purpose of the existence of Florida Family Voice, I love this. Florida Family Voice exists to serve and strengthen the church. We help families, pastors, believers, and churches across Florida speak with one unified voice. Occasionally, we'll have a commissioner, someone from our area here in the Treasure Coast, come in. And one of the questions I always ask Chris from our community is, Chris, how's it going? Who's showing up at your meetings? Who's influencing the direction of our county, our city? Who is that? And is it, well, there's very few, a small handful of people show up. And many times, I do believe it may be because we're simply lacking the resources and maybe an understanding of how much more impactful it can be and should be. And will be as we work together.
Yeah, I had a pastor say to me, man, it profoundly changed how I viewed things. He said, Eric, I'm going to preach about this on Sunday. This was Amendment 4. And I said, well, I'm super proud of you. That's, you know, it's all of a sudden become a bold thing to preach about life, but it is truly a bold thing. And he got up there, and I'll never forget his words. He said, I know a bunch of you don't want me to get political, but in this case, politics got theological, and I have to talk about it.
Good point.
And I think, like, one of the great deceptions that's out there right now for a bunch of our faith leaders is, what is biblical, what is theological, and what is political? I think there's been a lot of people who have tried to tie the two together to try to muffle and mute our pastors. Well, you know, the other thing, and you guys, I'm sure, have talked about this already on your show, but, I mean, there was a huge thing that happened 3 weeks ago or so with the most recent ruling on the IRS amendment, or the IRS Johnson Amendment, saying, look, that was never really intended for churches, meaning that no church anymore has to worry one bit. They really didn't need to anyways, but they don't need to worry now officially about what they say up there about ever losing their IRS status. This, churches were meant to be a truth speaker into our culture, and their truth comes from that book. And so I think, you know, again, my goal is just simply to lift up and elevate so that they can prayerfully make a decision on the topics they talk about. One thing we've done wrong, for sure, is that we've told the 17,000 churches of Florida many times, here's 15 issues, you need to talk about them. And the truth is, they don't need to talk about every political issue. They don't need to talk about every political candidate. I had a hard time when I'd sit in front of pastors last year. I would challenge pastors pretty heavily. I think you should talk about Amendment 4. But as it related to Amendment 3, which many of you will recall was the marijuana amendment, that was a different, that is a political issue, and I think it would have been bad for our state. It is not the same as what Scripture says about life. And so I think we've done a mediocre job at best of just trying to raise, we sound every alarm all the time, and we want to get more purposeful on saying, these are the things that we believe, to your guys' point a minute ago, this thing was 3% away from changing forever, making Florida an abortion destination state, you know, up till birth, and we beat it by 3%. Which is not much. And so we are deeply invested in giving the church the loudest voice it can by giving them all the tools and equipment we can.
Eric, do we know whether or not they intend to bring it back on the ballot again?
At this time, we expect there'll be another marijuana amendment, but there right now will not be an abortion amendment. I believe that they will not, so long as they would have to fight the DeSantis world one more time. And I mean, look, you know, this has been talked about, but they spent $150 million of money into our state. Most of the money was coming from out of our state into our state to put that horrible amendment on our Constitution. We spent $20 to $30 million and beat them. And so they have to look at this as an equation of, do we want to spend another $150 million? Do we want to go up against the DeSantis world? And do we want to go up against the state where the churches are actually starting to talk and figure out, hey, you're not in charge. We're in charge. We have the much bigger voice, and if we're preaching from the Bible, we'll have a bunch of people who will recognize this as counterfeit right away. So I think we're anticipating that there will not be one in 2026. Of course, that could always change, but I would say all eyes on what could happen in the legislature, and certainly what could happen in 2028.
Eric, we still have about 8 minutes, and I wonder if you could just address, what are some of the tools that you make available to pastors to be able to maybe better equip their congregation? And Chris, you may have started with something there to add to that.
Well, what I wanted to interject was, the Alliance was formed about 9 years ago, and we have brought many church leaders, business leaders, and civic leaders together in National Day of Prayer, Treasure Coast Day of Prayer, Christmas Proclamation Supper. But one of the things that I know that's out there, and I hope that we can pierce this veil of negativity, is there's pastors that will not come aboard when we have these gatherings for fear that it's not, how can I put it, theologically in their lane. And this is not what we're about. We all believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. What we want to do is equip them and do whatever we can, because one of the things I want to find out at the breakfast on September 5th at Grace Emmanuel Church is maybe a couple minutes with the pastors to find out, what issues are you having that we could address and maybe have another breakfast to address it in the spring of next year? Because as much as we reach out to business leaders and civic leaders, we also want to make certain that we equip the pastors of our local churches.
Yeah. And so just a quick comment on that, and then I'll answer your question. You know, Florida formed the first ever what we called the Red Phone, which was we put a phone number to every pastor and faith leader in our state that went directly into the executive office of the governor and got answered by a human. And the whole point of that was to hear the issues they're facing and to help. And the reason we were helping was because the church serves as the frontline army to serve the most vulnerable of our state. They are plan A. No one does it better. And so when government can answer their questions and cut their roadblocks and get the red tape cut so they can go back to serving, the entire state wins. And let me be super clear. Government across the country should recognize the day that the church decides they're not going to serve the vulnerable people on the front line, government implodes that day, because the church holds so much of the burden of caring for the most vulnerable that government doesn't do. And so we should, as government, be coming up and saying, okay, what can we do to help you serve the most vulnerable? And I don't know if you've ever thought about this, any of you, but like, it occurred to me a few years into the role that government and pastors wake up with the same mission to serve the most vulnerable, at least the ones that are doing it right on both sides, right? And so, ironically, a really poor misdefinition of the separation of church and state, what was meant by Thomas Jefferson, has caused a lack of conversations between two groups that desire to serve the same vulnerable people. So I want to answer your question about tools. I think the best way I can give it to you is to come out of the book of Nehemiah, which I've been in quite a bit lately, because as I think about the walls of life, marriage, family, and religious liberties, you can't think walls without going to Nehemiah. And so I've read that story quite a bit recently, and just really looked at what Nehemiah did. And you know, the most famous thing you probably could say is that the walls got rebuilt. The two things that I think are undertones of that is, one, what Nehemiah did well was make much of the tribes of Israel, and he did his best to remind people of who God is and what he's capable of. That's really his role in those first six chapters, is he is continually reminding people of who God is and what he's capable of. And so I think that's one role that I'd like for us as a FFV or Florida Family Voice to be stepping in. The second thing that's very, very popular from the story is there becomes a moment when they're building the wall and they're holding both sword and trowel. We've said sword and shovel. And so I think that's the answer to your question, right? I think there's tools on two sides. One, we have tools to equip pastors on what is actually happening, what is the deceptive language, how to be involved with crisis pregnancy centers, what is happening at a statewide level, what can legislative members give you, what can you preach, what do we have for your bulletins, what do we have for your newsletters, and we have tools for that to help them understand that. Also, it's important that pastors that said to me back in October, hey, I don't want to talk about this issue because it is political, which of course I did not particularly agree with, I would say to those pastors, okay, well, now we're in August in a non-political season. Is life part of something you talk about? And so we are helping them not just talk about being anti-abortion, but instead, what does God say about life? What does it mean that the creator of the universe knit together this baby in a mother's womb, and he opens and closes wombs, and babies are a gift, and a quiver is full, and I mean, all these things he says, what's he saying? You know, why does life matter? And I think what concerns me is that's not political. That should be something we're talking about every year, all year long. And so that's one. It would be the sword element, is watch the horizon, be prepared for what's coming up against the battlefields, but in the meantime, preach life and family and marriage. On the flip side, and this is where I'll finish it, is that on the trowel or shovel side, is there's a lot of churches that fought against Amendment 4 and realized that we by defeating Amendment 4, 40,000 babies per year, 40,000 new babies per year at a minimum will be born because of the defeat of that amendment. That should spark churches to at least ask the question, who are these babies? Who are these new moms? And what can we do? And we know, statistically speaking, because we know the most aborted groups in the world are people with special needs, are babies with special needs, and babies who are born into low-income families. And so I have challenged a lot of churches. I'll be doing it more. Challenged lovingly to say, hey, if you voted against Amendment 4, you should also be considering what your church's special need and foster care ministries are. And that intimidates a lot of churches, and rightfully so, by the way, super, super difficult ministries. So the second set of tools we're bringing are, how do you address those issues? How do you talk to new moms? How do you deal with foster families and adoptive families? How do you raise up foster and adoptive families? What do you do for biological families that might be one paycheck away from their kids having to come into the system of care at the state? And so we are offering two types of services to pastors. One would be, hey, let us tell you how to look on the horizon and be ready with the sword. And two, how do we get to work of serving? I mean, think about what I said, by the way. I said, I don't think there'll be an amendment for 2 more years, which means 4 years from last year to 3 years from now, times 40,000, means Florida will have 120,000 new babies that would not have been born with the passing of that amendment. There has got to be a role for the church to serve those moms and those babies. And I'd love to say dads, but candidly, not as many dads involved. And so we need to have both sword and shovel in our hands, and we'll be helping them understand how.
Well, once again, Eric Dellenbach, it is awesome to have you with us on air. But Chris, Eric's going to be on the Treasure Coast in a few days as we are getting ready to close this first half hour out of off our program. We're running out of time. Please once again promote to our leaders. This is for leaders, and it is important that that we hear from you, Chris.
Yes. Friday, September 5th at 7:30, free breakfast is being held at Grace Emanuel Church on Kinderman Road, located just between US 1 and Oleander in Port St. Lucie. And we are asking for pastors. It can be youth leaders. It doesn't necessarily have to be a senior pastor's out. Then send your youth pastor, your assistant pastor. But we want to have you enjoy the opportunity of fellowship and a great education from Eric on what we need to address and how the state, how this organization can help equip us. So please put that on your calendar and let us know so we have a number. And you can reach me at 772-834-5316 by phone call or text. Thank you.
Eric, we're gonna close with prayer, and I'm going to ask you just to lead us in a moment of prayer over this. I'm so glad that you're coming down, that you have accepted the mandate, and God has certainly raised you up and equipped you for such a time as this. And recognizing that even with Nehemiah, the enemy was going to attack. Anytime the walls are being rebuilt, the enemy's going to attack. But somebody's got to blow the horn. Somebody's got to grab that ram's horn and say, hey, we need help down here, or we need help over there. And this is one way we together can equip ourselves to be able to work as the body of Christ most effectively in the state of Florida. And this is certainly not a time to run to the temple and hide. I know that there were some enemies wanting Nehemiah to do that. Come over here and protect yourself. It really is a time for us to recognize God's given us an opportunity to see our state advance even further in the right direction in these days. So thank you so much, Eric, for your part. And please lead us in a closing moment of prayer.
Absolutely. Well, God, we come to you recognizing you are the unrivaled, unequaled creator of the universe. And Lord, we make our plans, but we submit them right in front of you and surrender them back to say, Lord, we only want to be what you want. Lord, you built this church. This is your church. This is your bride. Lord, all we want to do is honor you, honor your church, make much of your church, and allow your church to step into the full glory and goodness of what you intended it to do. And so, Lord, we pray expectantly. Lord, I pray over the pastors who have been told a lot of things over the years and probably lied to on some of these topics. And Lord, I pray that you break those strongholds of thought that might be keeping them from just coming and getting to hear a little bit about what maybe you have in store for them. Lord, let my words be honoring and glorifying to you, and let me not stray from anywhere that your scripture would go. And Lord, let us just see something happen in Florida like you've already done, Lord, because you're good and you're faithful and you'll do it again. And so, Lord, let us see something in Florida that not only changes our state because of what the churches can do, but also changes the nation as an example. And Lord, we pray all these things expectantly in the mighty and most powerful name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, brothers, for joining us this morning. And we want to thank all of you who have tuned in this morning to Wednesday Live. We have another session that's coming up with another couple that's going to join us in studio. Thank you so much, Eric Dellenbach, again, for coming on air. Thank you, Chris Vogel, for being with us. We're going to go to a song, and this is a song by Paul Wilbur. And incidentally, Paul Wilbur is coming to the Treasure Coast for a Treasure Coast Day of Prayer. Going to have a tremendous event. We'll tell you more about that in a moment.
Thank you. Yeah. Eric, looking forward.
Welcome back. We are moving right along today, I need to bring to your attention that if you didn't already know, that was Paul Wilbur, and he was singing Days of Elijah. Days of Elijah, great song. Incidentally, the Treasure Coast Day of Prayer is coming up September the 25th. Write that down, put it on your calendar. September the 25th is a Thursday. And this is the Treasure Coast Day of Prayer. It's not the national, but we'll take in anybody from the nation that wants to come. But it's going to be right here in Palm City at New Hope, Palm City New Hope, 3900 Citrus Boulevard in Palm City. Sponsored by the Treasure Coast Christian Alliance, 6 o'clock to 7 o'clock that evening is going to be a great time of prayer. Praying for the Treasure Coast of Florida. And for the specific needs that we have here in the state. And we do see the hand of God, just with Eric speaking about all the blessings we have here in the state of Florida, many things that are not happening in other places. And in the area of faith, a lot of favor in that area. But there still are many breakthroughs that are needed. So we're coming together for prayer, 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, 2-7. But at 7 o'clock, Paul Wilbur is coming along with his team. And if you don't know who Paul Wilbur is, go online, go to YouTube, pull up some of his music. He is a messianic psalmist. He's sort of like a papa. I call him a papa in the messianic community, stirring up messianic worship all across the world, all around the world. Very well known, but he has a heart for God. He has a heart for his people. And he's going to be leading tonight, I Stand With Israel. And if you are truly a born-again part of the family of God, you're going to understand the importance of standing with Israel, because the covenant God made with them is a covenant that is with us as well. And so we know that the church does not replace Israel, but we are here as co-laborers and partners in the great work of God in these last days. Treasure Coast Day of Prayer coming up. I Stand With Israel coming up on the 25th of September. Donations for the tickets, $10. We're just looking to cover costs. Some of you may want to give a little more. Some of you may want to give some extra so you can make tickets available for some that may not even have the $10. But we moved out of the public sector for this event, looking to keep the costs down, so maybe we could have a few more people attend. And so going into the Civic Center, some other areas, the cost is much higher. It's normally $20 at least just to cover cost. And so, of course, the Alliance is not looking to do anything other than to bless the kingdom of God and to bring our family together and celebrate the faithfulness of God. I want to welcome Nick and Robin Marfione to this segment of our program today. And David is here with us, and we're trying not to stress David's voice too much, but he can probably say hello.
Well, hello. Yeah, that can work that.
You know this couple too, right? Nick and Robin
Marfione? Not as well as I would like, but very well indeed. Yep. Yeah.
Hi, David.
Hey, good to see you again.
Same here. Hi,
and
David.
You're still neighbors, but you're probably going to tell us you're a little further away.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Yeah.
Not bad.
Little bit of change, You know, the laying on of hands is something we practice in church, because it is something that we as elders are to do. But Nick and Robin, you all get to lay hands on a lot of people, don't you?
Yes, all day.
All day.
All day long.
So a lot of years ago, there was a great guy in town, Tony Renard, and Tony kept telling me, you've got to meet these friends of mine. You got to meet these friends of mine. And one day we met, and God has put us very close together, and we love having you all a part of our fellowship and friends. And how many years did In Our Salon exist? Long time, right?
22 years,
I think,
for the In Our Salon.
For NR.
But even before that, both of you were involved in hairdressing?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
Nick was actually here.
Actually, in this building, I was here.
Yeah.
And
in the building where WCNO is today.
WCNO is today, as we're sitting.
So this was your business right here?
Yeah. My station was right over here.
Really?
Really? Right.
And here you are. It must feel comfortable.
I do.
To come back.
Yeah.
And Robin, how many years for you? I mean, a long time.
In that building, 38 years.
38 years in that building. So you were right there in one location.
Cool.
And then all of a sudden, shake up.
Yeah,
it wasn't. Change isn't easy, is it?
No, no.
Do you find it easy, Nick, to have radical change? Was this easy?
Well, it was easy through the Lord.
through the Lord.
But Amen. Not my humanly thinking. Yeah. But other than that, it's all good because I know God's got a plan.
Yes.
And we're happy there, and the owner is great. And the
employees. Let's talk about what happened. So you were in our salon.
Yes.
And you were there for, what did we say, 29 years?
Yeah, 22 years.
22 years.
Yes.
And now you are where?
Over on 34th Street.
And so in our salon, the two of you are in our salon. You are now at Miracle on 34th Street.
Correct.
And so this is a move, what, a few blocks?
It's...
not far.
Not far at all. God, it's only maybe not even a quarter mile.
Yeah, it's like three streets from where we were.
Three streets from where we are now.
Yeah.
And so tell me a little bit about Miracle on 34th Street. I mean, I love the name. I love the movie, and I love the God that brings miracles. So
that's right.
How did you end up on 34th Street, and what goes on over there?
Well, we basically, when we left, we're leaving the building here, we... I don't know how else to say, but we
you're looking for a new home, weren't you?
They needed our place, so we're looking for a new home.
Well, you got kicked out, bottom line. Just say it.
I mean, pretty much, yes.
A new owner came in, and they're remodeling, and everything's getting changed around.
Yes, and they needed our spot.
Yeah, they needed your place. So
so we started looking around for hair salons in Palm City, and we went from salon to salon. We know every owner now.
Yeah. we just walk in and say, you know, hey, we're Nick and Robin, da, da, da. And people knew because it went around town. Everybody knew that the place was sold.
Yeah.
So they knew, and we just introduced ourselves and just checked out different salons. But when we walked into Miracles, you could feel it.
Yeah.
You knew that it was something different.
Yes.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And I knew immediately this is where I wanted to be. But I wanted to make sure Nick was on board, too. You have to be on the same page, you know?
Sure, yeah.
So we kept going to different stores, talking to different owners or whatever. And finally, I said to him, I said, I'm going to be honest with you. I want Miracles because I just felt very comfortable in that salon.
Right.
And I says, and I know she's a believer because you walk, you look around, you see it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he's like, yeah, I felt the same thing, too. So it was like, ding, ding, there it is. And Becky's awesome. She is awesome.
Yeah.
We have Becky, we work, she's the owner. And then we have Amy. She works with us. She's awesome also. Excellent hairdressers, you know, friendly. We all work together as a team. I can't remember the last time I worked like that.
Well,
you know, it's just wonderful.
And we could pray in there too.
And we can, exactly.
It's great.
Awesome.
You know, it's just
cool.
People come in and some, you know, we'll ask if they want prayer. And usually 99% of the people will say, sure, why not?
Yep.
And once we pray or the calmness of these people, it's like we know the Holy Spirit is there. So
absolutely. Absolutely.
There's going to be miracles, I'm sure.
No
very doubt. Cool.
Yeah.
Well, this is the way you all have had business. It's really been a place where the peace of God was, and families were so comfortable to come. Some have come for years and have grown up. Some of these little kids are now grown up, right? You do their hair for proms and different events, and a lot of guys come. You know, my family, the three of us guys come in, and you know, you work on us and help us out a lot, so they don't throw us out when we're in public, which is great. You've had a lot of amazing things happen over the years. What are some of the God stories that just comes out of the reality of your occupation? And you all do pretty much all kinds of hair care, but what are some of the miracles that comes out of bringing faith into the marketplace when you actually live your faith in your business?
Just one of them that I remember too is a client named Kathy, and she came in and her face just looked like she was in pain. And she just kind of looked at me and she says, look at my hands. They're so sore and filled with arthritis. And I said, Kathy, let's pray for you. And she says, I'll take anything. So we started, we prayed, and really I saw her arthritis just shrinking. And it's like, okay, this is a little scary, but because I know the miracle will happen, and I know Jesus was in it. So it was like, wow, this is great. And she's looking at me, and she's just looking, and she's like tears in her eyes, and she goes, look at my hands. I can move them. I can move them. Look. Yeah. Wow. Every time she came
That's a miracle.
That's a miracle.
Yeah,
that's
right miracle.
There. Yes. And we know miracles. I mean, look at our church. We're on 34th Street.
Yeah,
and,
we're.
And I remember Rachel saying, you know, there's going to be miracles on 34th. Yep. And here we are on 34th Street. Miracles. Amen. On 34th. So
yeah, it's a God thing all day.
It's definitely a God thing. Yes. Yeah.
Well,
definitely.
The thing is, when you know who God is and God's in your life, and you realize that whatever challenge in this world, we have trouble, we face all kinds of things that, you know, it's not easy going through family issues. And sometimes there's hurts, there's, you know, pain that we drag along with us. And, you know, there's a lot of healing, a lot of families' needs. There's physical issues, there's financial issues, there's national, political, a lot of different things that the enemy can use to tear people apart. Yep. But when God is at the center of our life, it opens up the miraculous opportunity for God to do what no one else can do.
Yep.
And I love the miracles, but there's also day-to-day healings that take place.
Yes.
And I know some of your clients have been coming to you for how many years? What would you say?
35
years.
Yeah.
Now, when someone comes for 35 years, something good's going on, let me tell you. Something good is going on. So how long has Miracle on 34th been on 34th Street? Is this? Do you know anything about the history?
She's been there 22 years.
Yeah.
Wow, 22 years, so about the same length of time.
Yep.
Yeah.
And so she has a tremendous clientele record as well.
Yes.
And I haven't met Becky yet, met Amy.
Yes.
When we came in with our troop the other day. Mm-hmm. So I won't pick on Becky, the owner, and give her a hard time because I don't know her yet. But in all seriousness, Becky, thank you for opening up your heart and opening up you know, your world and really your life and what you've built, and to see the treasure that I know is in Nick and Robin that's going to come alongside of you. And something happens when the body of Christ gets together, doesn't it, Dave?
Amen.
Yes.
Yes, it's powerful.
Awesome.
It's Holy Spirit work.
It is.
You know, and I particularly, the person that's been doing my hair for 30 years is a believer.
Oh, that's
so
awesome.
So I celebrate the fact, I don't just get my hair cut, but we get to pray and talk and edify each other. So with the two of you, I don't want to go on and on. I was trained to do this in seminary, but I do want to say that when a Christian is involved in any profession, especially hands-on, you're not just getting the service they're trained to do. You're getting God. You're getting God touching your life through them and through your faith. Right. And I just thank God for you two and for your decision for Christ and your desire to serve Him in that way.
Right.
You walk away more than with, you know, a haircut or coloring or whatever. Uh-huh. You walk away renewed.
Yes, we do.
Yeah.
We do.
All right, we have Nick and Robin from In Our Salon that now is at Miracle on 34th Street.
Correct.
With us in the studio today.
Yep.
I also have some tickets. I believe I'm giving away two tickets, or I don't know. I was given three tickets. We have an upcoming event, Treasure Coast Day of Prayer with Paul Wilbur. Mm-hmm. And I have some tickets in my hand. Whoever calls first, you can have 1 to 3 tickets. I don't know if I'm allowed to give 3 tickets away, but I have them in my hand, so I'm going to do it. So whoever calls first, phone lines are open. Give the phone line, Dave.
772-221-1100. That's 772-221-1100. 1100.
Coming up on September the 25th, it's going to be right here in Palm City, sponsored by the Treasure Coast Christian Alliance. 7 o'clock, we're going to have a great evening. I Stand with Israel. Mm-hmm. Phone lines are open right now. Whoever calls first, 1 ticket, 2 tickets, or 3 tickets. Up to you. Give us a call. 772-221-1100. Nick, you cannot do it. You are here as a guest. We should have had you sign the exclusion clause. You cannot apply for any of the prizes or awards. Listen, one thing, the most important thing in all of our lives is to lift up Jesus Christ.
Amen. Yes. Thank you.
I'm so blessed to be in a room with people who do that really well.
Yeah.
But Tell me a story of somebody coming to Jesus in your experience as hairdressers.
I have a couple.
Yeah, you do.
I have a really good one. I did this lady's hair for probably 35 years.
Wow.
She was our lobster hookup.
Okay.
Sylvia. Yeah. And she got sick. I didn't know this. She got sick, and her daughter says, you know, it's bad, Robin. Go to the house. Go see her. Mm. I said, okay. And I had talked to her before about God, and she wasn't ready. She was on the fence. You know, she was.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay. I'm gonna cry. Go to her house, and she's in the bed, and it's scary. And I had said, Lord, please don't let me see the scary part of her. Let me see her the way you see her. You know what I mean? So I was like, all right. I get in there, and of course I'm joking because that's what I do. When I'm nervous, I joke. And I kissed her and told her I loved her, and we're just kind of talking back and forth. We had a good run, you know?
Yeah.
And I said, honey, do you want to go see Jesus? And she said, yes. I said, well, there's a prayer we need to say to make sure we can go see Jesus. She's like, okay. She said the sinner's prayer with me. Never did I think on her deathbed I'd be doing that. You know what I mean? Wow. God knew. He knew the skin before I did.
Holy Spirit.
And she rolled over. And she said, bye. And she said, Jesus, Jesus.
Wow.
So I knew right that second that she was going to be okay. And she was going to go home and she was going to be with
from her heart.
Yes.
That was a from her heart.
That was the most intense one.
Wow.
I have ever done in my life.
Yeah.
And then there was Joan.
Joan.
She was hardcore, that lady.
Oh, God, yes.
Years. Years. Mm. He preached to her before I knew her. And then I, you know.
And these are clients, non-Christians, that are coming to a salon. You know, you don't hide your witness. You don't hide, you know, there's not a basket over your witness. It's right there.
It's right there.
And these people come because they know not only good at your trade, but you're also a place where the peace of God is.
And there's something different.
There,
you know, they don't know what it is, but there's something different about it.
So what happened with Joan?
Joan, for 100 years. We've known her together probably, 35, 40 years between the two of us.
Yeah.
And we constantly witnessed. Nothing. Well, she got real sick. She ended up home in bed, so we would go do her hair at home.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we're sitting there one day, and I'm blow-drying after, you know, calling her hair. He goes, she's ready. I'm like, ready for what? You know, I'm blow drying. He goes, she's ready for the prayer. I'm like, what? I threw that blow dryer down so fast. It was like, Joan, you want to say the prayer? She's like, yeah, I think so. I want to say that prayer.
Wow.
She said it the one time. She says, can I say it again?
Just to make sure.
Now we're crying. The snot is flying because we know how intense this lady was.
Wow.
Okay?
She was a tough one.
Yeah. We get her all done and everything. We go into her bed, and I loved her bed. I used to say to her, I'm coming over to camp over with you because this bed is so comfortable. And I'd always get in bed with her.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
I'm holding her hand. She looks at me. She's crying her eyes out. And she goes, are you sure, Robin? Are you sure I'm saved? I'm forgiven? I said, you're forgiven, Joan. It's done.
It's done.
That was. We couldn't wait to call you and Rachel.
Yeah.
Nick's like, we got to call Pastor and Rachel. Yeah. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Awesome. It was Joan. Yeah.
Awesome.
So we know she's in heaven.
Yeah.
You know?
It's awesome.
I've had clients that just sat in my chair. And they're going through stuff at home or whatever with husbands and whatever. Yeah. Kids. I've had young girls.
Yeah.
Boom. Okay. You know, how do I get what you have?
Yeah.
And I said, simple. It's just a prayer. You know, ask God into your heart for, you know, ask for forgiveness, repent for your sins. Boom. That's it. Yeah, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had a girl, a couple of months ago.
Yes.
And she's going to church. She's having a good old time. Wow. You know, she's doing great. So, yeah, it's God, though. It's not me by any way, shape, or form.
No.
It's God through me.
Well, you know, when we know Christ and we live for Christ and Christ lives in us, doesn't mean we're not going to face some challenging times. We're almost out of time, but Robin, you faced some pretty challenging physical days, haven't you?
Yes, I have. Yep. But God healed me.
Amen.
I'm a walking, talking, you know.
But you were diagnosed with?
Stage 4 cancer.
Stage 4 cancer. When was this?
Back in 2019.
2019?
Yep. Mm.
And here you are?
Here I am.
Praising God. Working.
Jesus.
Yep. Working.
Healed.
Yep.
In Jesus' name.
Never missed a beat. Nope.
Nick, I've seen you come under attack.
Yes. Mm. Many times of attack, and he keeps trying, and I say, okay, Lord, it's up to you. Here you go. Satan, leave.
Yeah.
So it's all good. I mean, it's definitely all good. You know, you always have your days, of course. You know, everyone has a day that we go through stuff, but God's got it. He's got us.
And I think we have to remember, too, you know, we get the enemy hits us so hard sometimes. I think we forget that we're the ones that the Satan should be afraid of.
That's right.
Not yes, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
And we get sucked in sometimes so hard we forget. And it's like, Lord, help us, help us, help us that he's attacking. But wait a minute. Kick him to the curb because that's where Amen. He belongs. You know what
that
I mean?
That is where he belongs.
Yeah.
For sure.
Well, Satan knows that we're trying to do right and he's just going to keep attacking.
Of course. So it's of course.
No.
He'll keep losing.
That's right.
He'll
lose all day. Yeah.